Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Well, this is my mother. Please introduce yourself.
I am Stacey Orndorff, Catabree's mom.
What? Where are you at in life?
I'm the owner of Coffee King Roasting and Supply Company. And
is that what you identify with?
Yep, pretty much. I'm the coffee queen. That is the identity I have taken on. Not really, but I have outwardly, but not inwardly. I can't do math right now. I have 7, 8, 9 months. I'm 9 months owner of, I'm an entrepreneur. My mission in life is to help people find their purpose and live it. And right now I do that through coffee.
It sounds really businessy. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where are you at in life? Internally.
Internally
not in life. What's that word? Externally.
Where am I in life internally? I am about a 7 on the scale of happiness. How's that?
That's better.
I am 3 years divorced. We'll call it that. Still going through therapy every other week. I am diving into anxious attachment right now. I've got some inner child work to do. Shows up in relationships. Don't love that.
What's your deal right now?
What's my deal right now?
Yeah. What's the vibe?
I don't even know how to answer that. Some days are better than others. I am overwhelmed with my own crap most days. And so I am constantly trying to do all the things to put myself at peace. My peace is lacking. I'm doing a ton of work to heal my inner trauma, basically. Mm-hmm. Is that enough? Still more?
No, that's better.
Okay. Where do you think I am?
I think you're in Iowa. You're in an apartment right now.
You want that?
I don't know what I want.
Okay.
Why don't I share? Where am I at?
There you go.
Currently, I am living at home with my mother in her apartment. I just left college. I don't know if I'm going to go back. And I'm trying to find my purpose in life. And right now, I feel like I need to learn patience. I don't know what my purpose is, so I'm stuck, whether I want to or not, to learn patience. That's where I'm at in my life. I have a long-distance boyfriend, and I'm working a full-time job. My peace is wavering.
Wavering?
I don't have constant peace, and we butt heads, so I'm living... Oh, my boyfriend's calling right now.
Oh. You need to pause and take it?
No.
Okay.
It's okay. Living at home with my mom is not easy, and we butt heads because we have very similar paths in life, though our purposes are very different.
What do we butt heads over?
We butt heads over miscommunication, not understanding each other, being offended by each other's vibes.
That's the biggest one, yeah. We are both on a path of realizing that we have low self-worth. Would you say that's true?
I think sometimes I have high self-worth and just not, I don't have confidence. But then other days I feel like it's the opposite.
Yes, so I have high self-confidence most of the time and low self-worth. It's gaining. I don't even want to say I have low self-worth anymore because it's gotten better just in the last 6 months, but it's still lower than what I would like it to be. So because of that, we struggle to live together because, well, this is just what we talked about today. This is my conclusion. You might not agree with me, but we are more concerned with what the other person is feeling and trying to take that into consideration, which sounds like a great thing, but then neither one of us are putting ourselves first. But then when we do, we feel selfish. Then each other, we don't even know how to deal with that because we've never showed up like that before. So it's kind of this constant cycle of sitting around doing nothing because neither one of us wants to offend the other to just do what we want to do. And it's not even offend. It's just, I don't know. We don't know what it is. We're trying to figure that out. You agree? Maybe you have more insight than I do.
Yeah, I think we both are on paths of healing right now. And we're trying to do it in a place that we don't necessarily love. And we're trying to do it together and coexist in the same place day in and day out. and we want to fix each other's problems because we vent about our problems and we share deep, vulnerable things. And sometimes there's no solution, and sometimes one of us doesn't want a solution, and so we butt heads over what we're wanting, and we struggle to communicate what we're wanting, and we've never had to figure out how to, I don't know, how to do that before, I guess.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
I think so. I think that this is, I can't say it's a first time, because I think like our winters in the past, before you went to college, our winters were really spent with a lot of freedom and creativity and no schedules, which was nice, but also a little depressing. But we would find ways to fill the time. And I think now we have a schedule. We have certain things we have obligations to. And it's winter. And so it brings back like that common or that comfortable place we want to be of not having any obligations and have the freedom to just exist and do our own thing and create if we want to, sleep in if we want to. I just thought about that today. I hadn't really voiced that, but I do think there's like a pattern. We're used to that, and now we don't have that. We're trying to adjust to a new type of lifestyle. Like, we have weekends free now. We haven't had that in 12 years, really. And so that's, I mean, you did at college.
Well, weekends were spent doing homework, so you're really not that right. Free.
Or you had RA duty. Yeah. And so I think we're enjoying that, but we're individually trying to figure out what we want to do with our free time. And I then we're kind of stuck. True.
I think that we can get on a high to where we are excited about doing things together in our free time. We look forward to it. And then sometimes we have different ideas or different needs for how we need to spend a weekend or spend times to ourselves or whether we want to go out or stay in. And that's where it's like, it seems like a relationship as to where, like, how are you going to spend your time aside from somebody else mm-hmm. and make sure that you're taking care of yourself. I think that's where it gets hard.
Yeah.
Because you want to do things with the other person. You want them to do it with you too. And when they don't, then sometimes it feels like you don't have anybody. You do, but sometimes they're not available. And then it's like, okay, well, am I going to do this myself or not? And then you kind of get mad at yourself. Like, okay, am I going to push myself to do it or not? Is it going to be fun if no one's doing it with me? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
I think for me too, going from college in Arizona to busy city, constant energy around you, and then coming back here to where I needed to settle down, take life at a slower pace. After a couple of months, it wears off, and then it's like, okay, yeah, now I'm just
you're rested
stuck here.
You're ready to go.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like, okay, well, I think that's what I mean when I say that I'm trying to learn patience, and that's just this week discovering that like I should take things and give them time to settle in. Honestly, work through emotions. I think I can do emotions pretty well, but there's some things where it's like, okay, when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go, but maybe I should try and stay where I'm at with whatever emotions I'm having and figure that out instead of jumping to the next thing. And maybe it's my age too. I don't know. I'm young. I'm excited. And then when I'm not, it's like, okay, I'm angsty and I gotta figure out what my life is.
I think it's hard too, is we're very similar in that we do things based on our energy. And so we both have a lot of energy at the same time. We get really excited and we have all these things and we're inspired and we want to do something about it. And then we'd want to do too many things. And then we get down on ourselves because now we don't have the energy to do the thing we really wanted to do. And then we're both dealing with that emotion in different ways, but together. So it's just,
that's good.
It's
what's an example of that? What's the last example?
This right now. I mean, today we had some real highs of inspiration and ideas and things that we wanted to do and things we want to complete, and we're doing it. And I think because we learned last weekend, or maybe the weekend before, we have all these things that we want to do, and it's just way too many. And so today we made a plan that you really wanted to get the podcast equipment out of the box and look at it, set it up, and try it. I really wanted to just get outdoors, go down by the river, and we both want to do my room. And so we decided, okay, we're going to do your thing, then we're going to do my thing, and then we're going to do our thing. And I think as the day has gone, my energy is definitely going downhill. Like, okay, I'm going to do this. We committed to it, and I can bring it. We're going to turn the music on, and we're going to get the bedroom done. But I really would rather just not do anything the rest of the day. But I know how I'll feel tomorrow. I'm going to regret it because the last two weekends haven't done my bedroom and it's driving me crazy. So I know I have to visualize how I will feel if we do it versus how am I going to feel if we don't do it. I don't know if that was a good example, but
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
I just know, like, even during the work week, we'll have ideas of what we're going to do. I take the blame. I think mostly it's my fault.
I think we're unrealistic in our time. As I was saying, I think we're unrealistic with our time and our energy. And when we're in a lull at work and we have the afternoon where we're kind of tired, we want to be more creative or think more than do or use our energy in that way, then it's like, okay, yeah, maybe later we'll do blah, blah, blah. Or maybe I want to go out to dinner. Or maybe I want to play games with the family or take on a big project at the house. And then you get there after a long day of work and it's like, yeah, that not was happening. Stupid.
Not happening. And watch then we're living TV. In guilt because yes. We're not doing what we wanted to do 3 hours prior to that.
And it's almost like, I mean, I read this somewhere where you, when you make a mental plan or write down something that you want to do and you don't do it, you are losing trust in yourself because it's a promise that you made yourself. Ugh. Whether it was super strict or not, it's still a promise that you are letting yourself down on. And I think that's where the guilt and the shame comes. And that's
low self-worth also comes.
Yeah.
It's breaking promises to yourself. I don't know what to do.
I don't know how to fix it. Therapy.
Because it feels like we're failing every day.
Every day.
I don't know that everybody else deals with things that way. I don't know if it's probably like because we're Enneagram 3s or it's our trauma. I have no idea. We're just weirdos. It's in our DNA. I think
maybe there's people out there who don't realize that they deal with it, but they probably do.
Maybe.
I think we're just sometimes too self-aware. I don't know.
Is it a creativity? Like, people that aren't naturally, like, creatives, they're not thinking of all these things that they want to do and then not accomplishing them.
True, because we're idealizing, we're creating, yeah. We're romanticizing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think it starts with following through, even when you don't want to.
We're doing that.
I think it's hard because when it's us and we both make a promise together, it can bring conflict and sometimes we fight about it.
That's true.
And that's where the difficulty comes in. But if we push through it and we remind ourselves, and I forget things so easily. So if I just remind myself, like, literally, oh yeah, we're cleaning the room tonight. Like, I could literally forget from 30 minutes to the next, oh yeah, I said I would do this. Yeah. And it's not that I don't want to do it. I just might forget. But then, yes, I will do it because I said I would. And we're doing it tonight.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be hard, but we're going to do it.
The conflict sometimes comes in because I don't realize that you just forget. I think that you're just like not doing it. And then I don't want to have conflict, so I don't bring it up. I just push it under the rug and then I'm mad about it 3 days later. Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. We could talk about this on the podcast, but my therapist said, I don't know if she wanted me to tell you that she said this, but
this is the problem with having the same therapist. We're going to couples therapy next.
She did mention it. No, but I told her about our situation when I was meal prepping over here because I thought this is a big conflict because that was a night where I just screamed in rage. Yeah. And then I told her, like, the next day, you're like, I'm so proud of you for screaming.
You told her that?
Yeah.
Yay. Maybe you should tell this story a little bit so people know what you're talking about.
This is from my POV. I have no idea how you saw it, but okay. This is how I saw it. Okay. Don't take offense because I've worked through it, okay?
Okay. Oh, boy. Here we go.
So my mom was sitting on the couch, and I'm pretty sure she was journaling. She's in her Bible. She's doing something, you know, really good for herself. And I was over here meal prepping in the kitchen. And My therapist helped me realize this, but in the moment I didn't, so I'll bring this up later. Okay. But in this moment, I saw my mom over here, and I was meal prepping, and this is probably how you saw it too, is like, she's not doing anything, I'm over here doing something for the both of us. And I think, I don't remember how I said it, it probably wasn't in a good way, but I said something like, you asked me about your room. You said,
oh, yeah.
I think you said, so are you doing my room tonight? Or when are you doing my room? Something like that. And that to me was like, did she just ask me that? Because I'm super busy right now. And then it was also like,
I know what I said. I said, so are you still planning to do my room, or should I just not plan on you doing it?
That's what yes, I said. That is what you said, because that just brought up. Because when I hear that, it sounds accusatory. It sounds like I'm maliciously not doing your room. And for me, I honestly forgot. And it's not, that sounds bad.
And I think about it nonstop.
But I forget things, and it's not intentionally. It's literally, oh shoot, I had so many other things going on. I didn't make that a priority in my head. It slipped my mind. And it's not an intentional, like, I really don't want to do her room, I'm going to push it off another day. It's just, oh, yeah, I forgot. And for me, I was like, oh, she did not just accuse me of not doing it. I literally forgot. And I feel like she's not going to understand. And she's just going to get mad even if I say, okay, whatever. And so then I think I came back with, I'm meal prepping right now. How can I worry about if I'm going to clean your room or not? Because I'm not going to do it on a weekday. I'm going to do it on a weekend. Because I've got all this other stuff I plan to do, and why don't you help me meal prep or something like that? And so then it blew up in this whole thing. I don't know what happened after that, but you were saying stuff. It was going in and out my ear. I got overwhelmed.
I'm sure my part came back to ungratefulness.
Yes, and I also talked to my therapist about that, and she wanted me to ask you.
Oh, no. She's getting in between us now.
She wanted me to ask you two questions, I guess. One, has anybody in your life, grandma, grandpa, the church, told you that you were ungrateful and that you should be more thankful for something?
Maybe. I don't know. I have to think about that.
Because she wanted me to view your perspective, I'm guessing. She didn't explain this, but that's my intuition, is she wanted me to see why you would be saying that and if that rooted something in you and why you would say that. And she asked me what I thought you would say if I asked you why you say we're ungrateful. And I told her, well, she would probably, first of all, say, why are you asking me this? And then second of all, she would bring up all the times that she had said I was ungrateful, and she would explain the things that I had done in those scenarios. And I told her about a situation that happened at work. I don't know if it was an employee, with family, with me. We'll just leave it at that. But you came into the car and just venting, like, this person or me being so ungrateful, I cannot believe that they would even do that. And to me, that was triggering, because it's like, okay, she said this towards me before. And then I like thought about it. I was like, okay, well, she is right. That is ungrateful. But my therapist told me that, and take this as you want, I know this is hard, but
okay, I got this.
But she was like, it isn't okay for somebody to tell you how you're feeling. She described it as a feeling. She is saying that you saying that I am ungrateful is like a feeling, and I'm
saying how you feel.
Yes.
Or don't feel. Okay.
And that
I can't decide how you feel.
Yes. And that,
I don't know if you feel grateful or don't feel grateful.
Yes.
And you're not expressing it how maybe I would then know you are.
Yes.
Because you're not expressing it in a way I would.
Yes.
Mean you're not. Okay.
And it's like, okay, well, what more can I do to show you that I am grateful? I shouldn't have to prove that I am grateful to you over and over and again. Anyways, that was a sidetrack of ungratefulness. Because that was a big trigger for me. I don't like being called ungrateful. I think.
I know. And it's a big trigger for me. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I understand on your end, and I'm going to try to not bring that up anymore. And I need to get to the root of why is that such a big trigger for me,
and when I think,
I'm feeling people aren't grateful.
I think there is an emotion or reaction or forgetfulness when there are times where it's like, okay, yeah, like, this seems petty or, like, first world problems, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think there's a better way to going about it than saying you are ungrateful because you are telling somebody how they are. So could
I say, I don't feel appreciated? Because then it's my feeling.
Yeah. And then I could say, well, what would make you feel more appreciated? Mm-hmm. And it's not about what I just did. It's right. about future.
Okay.
But anyways, back to this.
I can accept that.
Okay.
Okay.
So otherwise, you're going to take us to couples therapy.
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
But back to the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay.
Where were we at?
You said meal prepping. Well, you could help me meal prep. And then I went into, well, I'm paying you meal prep. And you're like, well, I already did the meal prep.
Yes. And then you said, well, why don't you buy your own groceries then? Mm-hmm. And then you said something that did hurt my feelings. And I know you didn't mean it that way, but that's how I took it then. And you were like, well, I know you're unhappy here, so why don't you just go back to Arizona?
Oh.
And that made me feel like, okay, my mother doesn't even want me here.
I'm sorry.
I don't want to be here. And that just like, whew, that hurt.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But I worked in therapy through it. That's why I'm not going to cry right now because I already did. But
if you, sometimes you can cry more than once.
That's true. That's true.
But I know I did say that. No, I shouldn't have said that. So I'm sorry.
But that was, you know, I had reminders like, I know you didn't mean it. Yes, it did hurt, but I don't take it out on you. I don't hold it against you because I know that that's not true. You don't not want me here. I think you recognize that I have unhappy moments and it's hard to see me that way.
Yes.
But my therapist helped me realize the feeling that I was having in that moment. And my feeling was more so, aside from the room thing, it was that I genuinely wanted connection time. And it wasn't about you helping me meal prep. I didn't know how to express it, but it was more so, you're over here doing your thing, I'm over here doing my thing, I wish we could have a connecting time, like I just feel a little bit lonely over here, you're over here, and I think putting it aside from, I need you to do this for me, it was, how nice would it be if you did it with me? And so I told her that, like, it's easy for us to separate business and, like, if we need connection time because we talked about it. Like, is this a business thing? Is this a, you need a mom sibling time?
Mom, yeah.
Yeah. And so I do honestly think in that moment, I haven't put together, but just I wanted time with you.
And you didn't tell me that.
And I didn't tell you that.
Interesting.
And I think, like, it's not.
Because I never would have guessed that.
Yeah. But I think that's where I need to approach it more of, hey, I know I'm doing this meal prep for you. And that we decided on that if you buy the groceries and I meal prep, that would be our thing. But honestly, I would really enjoy if you did it with me. But if you don't want to, I understand. But I just think it would be a nice moment for us.
And I probably would have said, okay, let me finish my quiet time and then I will join you. We just are so unhealthy. We can't even say what we want, recognize what we want in the moment. I honestly would have had no idea because sometimes you do your stuff and I feel like you want to do that by yourself and don't get in your way. And I really did assume that night, like you were happy go lucky doing your meal prep and I was doing my thing and I thought, oh, this is great. We're both doing our own thing. We're getting stuff done, doing what we want, coexisting. And then, yeah, all hell broke loose. But
and I do think part of it was because of the room thing. Like that's where in the moment it seemed like, why don't you help me meal prep, blah, blah, blah. But that was coming out of an emotion that was like,
you actually just wanted to connect.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my little revelation.
Mm. Well, I hope in the future you can just say, I need some mom time.
I think it's nice right now. I didn't say I needed some mom time tonight, but I view this as mom time and I think it's really special to me. Mm. So, and I think it's different from cleaning your room. I think we actually get to talk and I think it's fun.
And I feel like we had a lot of mom time today at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
That was good mom time.
I think sometimes it's hard for me to separate. I can tell. We both can tell when we're in different moods. And I think today was a little bit hard for you. And so I think, I don't know what that looks like, but it's harder to connect with you in that space. And I think vice versa, when I'm not in a good mood and I'm just kind of going along, blah, 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 then like you have these fun ideas and then I'm kind of like, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not fully engaged. So I think some moments today felt like that. But this doesn't feel like that.
I didn't feel like I was like that today, but I think just Saturdays now are like, I feel like I have to crunch. What's the word? Not crunch, but like get all of my self-care time packed in to the weekends because I know once the week starts, I don't know what I can work out. Like, I'm always going to have that time. But the quiet time, the reading, the journaling, I know I may not have that during the week. And so I've come to, like, weekends, I really value that. And sleeping in and just not having a schedule, I'm kind of getting used to that.
Do you feel like, this is just curious, do you feel like you had enough time to yourself today? Or do you feel like we spent... Yeah.
No, I didn't have enough time to myself today.
So how could I support you tomorrow? Do you need more time tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Can you express that to me next time?
Yeah, I don't know it until somebody points it out. I'm going to try to do better to recognize it in myself. Because for so long, my coping mechanism has been never being alone, not having alone time. And so now it's so strange to me that I'm craving it, because that's not normal. Like, I should have been craving it. Like, I could see myself in the past spiraling because I wasn't taking it, but I didn't know that was why. And now that I've had it and I'm becoming at more peace with myself, I'm seeing how much I do need that. And then when I don't have it, and I said to you before, seeing it in you, like, I can easily see how you need it and how you show up healthier when you have it. But that being reflected back to me in the last couple of weeks has really been eye-opening of, like, I need that too. Like, I didn't think I did. And I just go until I crash and burn. And I don't want to live like that anymore. So yes, the answer is yes, I can verbalize that if I can recognize it. And I think just having this conversation is going to help me recognize that is going on. If I have to think about, like, at what point today did I think, like, oh, I need some alone time? Like, it wasn't that conscious of a thought, but I can't, exactly identify when that was, I think it was thinking about, well, I guess when we talked about doing the podcast stuff over there, I said, I will do it with you, but I want to read my book and I want to journal while you're doing that or something. So that in some way that was acknowledging, like, I need that time. And
I think that's good. I think I need to tell myself to not take your feelings personally, because I don't think you need alone time. What I would tell myself is, she's tired of me. She doesn't want to be around me right now.
I'm a burden.
Yeah, I'm a burden. Yeah, that's my natural
thought. I think that's a good revelation.
Yeah.
For both of us, because it's not personal.
It's not personal.
And I think in the past, I, not knowing it, have probably made it personal because I didn't even know it about myself. So I could see how that vibe was coming off towards you, because you were the one keeping me from having alone time, which isn't true. I'm the one keeping me. My decisions and my choices are keeping me from not having alone time.
And I think that's
fair to you.
I think that's true for you too, because I think there's times where
I take it personally when you want alone time.
Yeah, or I act out because I need alone time and I can't verbalize it. Like, we had this, like, when I first moved back, I was going out with you with your friends and stuff, and I was hearing conversations and repeating, and it doesn't bother me that they're repeated. It bothers me that I need alone time. I don't take it for myself. I think that's a good revelation too, is like, I feel like sometimes you think you're too much for me and I'm annoyed with you, but it's really, I'm annoyed that I'm not having alone time when I would rather recharge myself.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm annoyed with you. I just need time by myself.
Yeah. I think both of us have had the same thing where I thought I was annoyed with you. You thought you were annoyed with me, but now we're realizing it's our own problem. It's our own boundary that we're not setting for our own health.
Yeah.
And now we need to start doing that. Look at us. This is good.
Thank you for sharing. I think that's where today I tried not to take personally. I felt there was a vibe. And I try not to take it personally. I think that's what it was. I think you needed alone time. Is that true?
Yeah. I didn't consciously know that. But looking back, I can definitely say, yeah, I needed alone time. There was an angst inside of me that I didn't know what it was or why. And I just kept, like, trying to push through and show up and be present and not do anything that would be personal towards you, because I knew it wasn't. Like, I knew it was my own thing, but I also knew the vibe was probably coming across, but I didn't know for sure. Like, I thought I was hiding it pretty well, but I guess I wasn't.
I haven't known you for 22 years almost now.
And then there's the whole thing, like, I'm already setting myself up to deal with the failure of not following through on what I want to do. So I'm, you know, before it even happens, I'm already having the angst that it's not going to happen. And how am I going to deal with that? So
I do that too. It's
over
like,
myself.
It's putting another person above yourself in a bad way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not respecting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so then it's not even quality anyway with the other person.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where we're at.
That's where we're at. That's where we're at today. 2024.
2024. Healing in the same space with the same issues and
working through our poop.
Mm-hmm.
Where we go from here.
Yeah. Where are we going?
Where are we going?
Where are we going? Well, you're trying to move out with your brother.
Yeah. If my brother gets his own place, I might move out.
And I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. But when I think about coming home again to an empty house, does bring me a little bit of anxiety.
Mm.
But it's just a mindset.
We're going to keep healing. You guys can keep watching. You can keep listening.
Heal with us.
Heal with us.
The name too.
Heal with us. Heal with us, learn with us, grow with us.
Deal with us. Heal with us and deal with us. Ooh.
Ooh. No, people aren't dealing with us. That's a negative. That's not. Maybe not.
No.
What were you going to say?
I'm not going to say it now. It's all right. It's not necessary.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I don't think I want to go there.
Okay.
It's one of those where we talked about earlier today. We could talk about this. We don't always have to go into past stuff. Like, we can start here and go forward. And so all I was going to say is one thing our therapist pointed out to us is that we need to acknowledge the fact that we are in recovery.
Mm.
And I didn't really want to talk about what we're in recovery from. Maybe some other day I will. But today, I don't want to.
We don't need to.
So, but that is where we're at. We're in a type of recovery that we're recovering from trauma.
I think a lot of people wonder, why are you healing? What are you healing from?
Right. That's so. That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Trauma. Past trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Lifelong trauma.
Yep.
Not your everyday.
But we're normal people.
We're self-aware.
We are self-aware. So you're going to be releasing some creativity.
Releasing creativity. I am a poetry girl. I am a songwriter. I love singing. And it's hard for me to find which avenue I want to go down. And right now, I feel like I can connect with others through poetry. And so you can expect more of that and more conversations with my mom about that. And maybe even some of her own.
Yeah, I'm a poet also.
I get it from my mom.
It's crazy because she told me this today. And then you told me this today. And then I told her I just wrote a poem this week or last week, sometime in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I still want to hear it.
Yeah, I'll dig it out. And it is a form, it's easier for me to write my feelings in the form of a poem or phrases. They're not like necessarily
rhyming.
Nope. And they're not haikus. They might be naturally sometimes.
They're thoughts written down.
They're thoughts written down. And they're not always complete sentences. They're not paragraph form. And that, I kind of just accepted that about myself in the last week of like, it's okay if this is how you write your feelings. Like, there's no rules. So anyway, it's just cool. We both have that in common. And I have, I think they're back here. I'll let you read them. Poems from high school and post-high school that when I wrote those, I remember feeling so creative and so inspired and like, wow, like these were pieces of art. I felt so proud of them. I didn't show them to anybody. And then my mom must have found them in a journal or something and gave them to me within the last couple of years. And I remember after I wrote those of thinking nobody would think these are anything. Like, nobody sees this talent. Nobody knows how awesome this is. And maybe they aren't. It doesn't matter. But to me, I was just so proud of the words that came out on the page to express how I was feeling in those moments. So anyway, yeah, I think this could be super cool. I think there's probably going to be a poem out of this podcast. Maybe it's going to be a reverse.
Probably thing. A reverse podcast.
Yeah, a reverse one. And we can, yeah, play it after.
Yeah. I want to say this too. I like poems because I think that sharing your thoughts is an act of vulnerability, at least to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
So I always appreciate when someone shares what they're feeling to try and connect with another person. And yeah, I'm excited to hear what you have too.
I like it because it connects me with Grandma Great.
Oh,
I feel like it.
She like poetry?
Yeah, she had, she's wrote several poems that she gave me a book. I think it was for my wedding. And it had poems that she'd written in there. Mm. And then I had given her a book of poems that I had written. And then she gave it back to me before she died. And she just always loved writing poetry and loved reading poetry and reciting poetry. Poetry was very important to her. So I think that's where I get it. You get it. And it's just like channeling Grandma Great.
I can just end this with audio. Our cameras keep dying, guys. But thank you so much for joining us on this podcast, YouTube. Oh, it's back.
I don't know how, but.
Okay, guys. Our camera keeps dying on us. But thanks for joining us. It's full.
It's full.
Thank you for joining us, though. And I hope you guys tune in next time and heal with us again. We're going to keep this cycle going.
Yes.
Any last
We're
thoughts?
We're breaking. Cycles.
Generational yeah. drama.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts?
Nope. Peace All out.
Right. Peace out.
Right. What's the button?
Hold on. I got it. What is life? I say this to myself often when something's confusing, funny, or ridiculously absurd. It's something I think of often, actually. What is life? What is life? I think my understanding of this phrase has changed over the years quite drastically. At age 9, life was music, learning how to play guitar, fighting stage fright. At age 12, life was learning about coffee, learning customer service, working while also being homeschooled. At age 16, life was exploring entrepreneurship, making a few lifelong friends, being creative. At age 19, life was moving away from home, pursuing the college dream, doing things on my own. At age 22, now, what is life? It's easy to look back and see what life was. It's harder to make sense of what life is now. Life is working jobs I most likely won't be in forever. Life is pursuing dreams that I've pushed off. Life is living at home with my mom. Life is healing from childhood trauma. Life is finding my passions and questioning them when I try something new and find out it's not for me. Life is quitting faster to not prolong what's not my purpose. Life is big emotions, traveling, focusing on what's important to me. Life is dark. Life is mundane. Life is beautiful. Life is sunny. Life is ever-changing and illuminated in unknowns. Life is relationships with others, with self, with God. That's what life is now, and it's not a solid rock. It's more of a racquetball that, with a moment's drop, springs into action and goes where it wants, whether you choose that path or not. You might swing and miss, you might swing, hit, and the ball might hit you back. Life now is communication, true feelings, true thoughts, but made and packaged to harbor a safe and healthy conflict. Communication is emotionally tasking, but communication brings better life. I'm not sure what all these what is life moments have to do in my future, but if I've learned anything, it's that your future is now. Your future is your present. The things you choose today create your tomorrow. So what is life? Life is now.